I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, and good night, folks. We're here with all the tools today. Welcome back.
Hey.
Your dreams were your ticket out. That's the substitute. Classes in session. Summer breaks over. Winter breaks over.
Hell yeah. Glad to be back, fellas.
Pop quiz is coming.
Missed you. I missed you boys, man.
COVID outbreak. Now you're back at home and you're not teaching anymore anyway. So.
And the other voice you hear is Coach Brandon Lumber.
Yo, what's up, man?
What's going on?
It feels good to have somebody else here to talk because, you know, I mean, only say so much.
What we had was special.
It has been. It's been smooth. We've done well, I think. But it's time to get back on track so I can take time off.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Wait, I can't be on the show on Thursday, guys.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. Well, we got some, you know what? I'd say the games this weekend were pretty, like, what? We had the Ravens and Browns. That was close. And the 49ers and Bengals. But other than that, it was a pretty, and I guess the Steelers coming back against the Vikings. But other than that, it was a pretty mediocre weekend of football.
Yeah.
It was a good weekend to win some money if you had some parlays popping off.
100%.
Now, you know, I had an 8-leg parlay that I almost hit on. I'm a bit upset about it. I picked the Ravens over the Browns, and I got 7 out of 8 right. I missed Ravens over Browns, which kind of pissed me off because I kind of wavered in that one. I actually even thought about taking that out of the parlay altogether. And then during the Washington-Dallas game, I actually had another parlay that hit pretty much, but Terry McLaurin got hurt and he's the only one that didn't hit, and I missed out on about $500 there. Oof. So
brutal.
Yeah,
well, let's talk about the Steelers missing out on an epic comeback. As per use this year, the Steelers did not
didn't get the job done. Came up short.
They come out stale. It's like Ben's bones don't loosen up to the second half now.
Hey, look, I'm going to tell you this. So we can't expect Big Ben to be Big Ben from 5, 6, 7 years ago, okay? He needs so much around him to happen the right way. And look, Pittsburgh came into that game Thursday night totally unprepared. They lost the game in the trenches on both sides of the ball. Casey Hayward, you know, we always talk about him as one of the better interior linemen. The Vikings did whatever they wanted to. Dalvin Cook did whatever they wanted to. Pittsburgh, they couldn't get the ball snapped on time. The center was snapping the ball low and into the ground. It was just bad all around. And look, you honestly can't blame all of it on Mike Tomlin, but he does get some of the blame here.
Yeah, he does. So, I mean, you got to look at the scheme and the way things have played out this year, too. Like, he hired a new offensive coordinator. We argued last year about their old offensive coordinator. And
he's not good.
No,
what's that? Who'd you say?
Cheeks.
Oh, yeah. Matt Canada is not. I mean, we're not seeing any of the staples of the offenses that he ran in college anyway. And at least in the preseason, all that, you know, window dressing or pre-snap stuff that he would do in the preseason that you were expecting to see more of. To give your quarterback more play action style opportunities. And then you've got a running back like that you use a lot. And you're still running play action like the lowest rate in the NFL. You're not doing anything with that. And you need to do more with that. So that falls on Mike Tomlin. It's been really an underwhelming few years for him.
Yeah.
Even though they made the playoffs, right? You know, they made the playoffs last year. But it's not looking so great for them right now.
All right, guys.
Mike Tomlin should be on the chopping block. Sorry, Woody.
No, I disagree.
No, Mike Tomlin should. Bro, I'm not saying he deserves to get fired. but he should be on the chopping block. And the reason he's not is because he's had so many consecutive seasons of not having a losing record.
Yeah.
Started off,
I don't think he's ever
year,
had a losing record.
11-0, never had a losing record. Yeah. Exactly. And then when you think about it, and when you think about the ownership and administration in Pittsburgh, Rooney, they always side with the coach. They yeah. love Mike Tomlin. So he's not going anywhere. And I do think he deserves that. But he should be on the chopping block. I mean, it should be questioned. It
just
really
go,
should.
Go get
well,
Aaron
let's
Rodgers.
Let's be real. So Joe Brady has said that he doesn't want to go back to college. He wants to stay in the NFL. Why? Like, Pittsburgh should be all over that, right? With their wide receivers.
Yes. Bring that Saints offense, please.
Well, I mean, you got to do some recon, right?
You got to
find out what happened in Carolina first.
He didn't want to run the ball.
It's messy over there.
Matt Rhule's next. So.
He didn't want to run the ball as much as Matt Rhule wanted to. That's I was reading about it. And they, like, argued about it in front of the players.
Ooh. And yeah. I heard also that he was sniffing around for some other job.
I heard that, but it didn't make sense because, like, he doesn't want to go to college anymore. So,
well,
he wants to stay in the NFL.
That he says that on the surface.
Yeah, we who knows?
Money talks, man.
Right
nowadays,
job. Yeah. If he would have came knocking, you think Joe Brady would have turned that down?
Especially,
I wouldn't know.
Opportunity. I don't think he's ready for the head coaching opportunity yet. Obviously, now. Yeah. But
you guys, I have to tell you guys something. I was wrong about Deontay Johnson. He's a very good wide receiver. For years, I've not. Like this man, so he drops the ball too much.
I was low on him too. Who looked at him and said, okay, do you think that he's going to be able to take that next step to be the elite receiver? Yeah. He had all the traits, and this year he put it together.
100%. He's their number one wide receiver now, straight up.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Who would you rather have, Tyler Lockett, Deontay Johnson?
Well, I mean, at their age right now, Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
All right. Who would you rather have? DJ Moore or Deontay Johnson?
Give me DJ Moore, honestly.
DJ Moore, who's my quarterback?
And that's a good question.
No, and that matters.
Keenan Allen or Deontay Johnson?
Who?
Keenan Allen or Deontay Johnson?
Deontay, because of age.
Give me Keenan Allen.
How old is Keenan now?
He's 29.
Okay.
Oh, he's still got some gas.
Yeah, a good 3-4 years. I mean, based on what he does, his
game. Deontay could get hurt. He could get hurt.
He's a little
Mike
guy.
Williams or Deontay Johnson?
Deontay Johnson. Based on this year. Last year, I would have been like, probably even Mike Williams.
I mean, Mike Williams is having a great year, even though it's been spotty. He's got 915 yards.
Yeah, it's a good year.
Oh, 61 catches, averaging 15 yards a catch, 7 TDs. It's good.
He's been inconsistent because a lot of that was early in the year, right?
First few, he had a lot, yeah. But no, he's been doing better as of late, though. The last few games, he's been back in the mix. Justin Herbert's just been destroying. He's number 2 quarterback in fantasy now.
Mm.
So the Vikings, they just won't go away. They're 6-7. Kirk Cousins, like, with how much negative press, like, not even just from us, from, like, all around the league, Kirk Cousins, he's 25-4 TD to interception.
Like, I know. And look, you about to cut him some slack.
Because
of that.
He still lost them multiple
games. And then, look, you're going to have to put your foot in your mouth next week when he do something and you're like, you know what?
Tight end.
That's the Kirk we know.
Listen, in this game, though, he went 14-31, 45%, 216 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions with a 63.4 QBR.
And he lost me some money.
It was on primetime. He don't play in primetime.
Oh, Kirk.
Look,
there
was a bet. More passing yards. Kirk Cousins or Ben Roethlisberger. I'm like, oh, that's an easy win. Man.
That is crazy to look at that stat line.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
a huge difference.
Minnesota, do you see them somehow sneaking it into the playoffs?
They got a chance. They got a really good chance.
Justin Jefferson is on another level right now.
Yeah.
Just torching cats.
I would say I see them something potentially in there. I don't trust them though. Like almost every game is a single possession they played in this year.
Yeah. And they've
they struggle to close opponents out. I mean, they're not a true playoff team. I mean, even if you look at the standings now, they're on the bubble on that side at 6-7. So they're behind the Washington football team right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we move on to the next games, see, I totally forgot, man. You have a trivia question for us today.
Thanks. I get it. You've been trying to, you know, cut me out since we've been friends for like the last decade, trying to steal my thunder.
It's a long con. It's a long con.
When I think of you, Woody, you remember D12 that came out with that song, My Band?
Oh, yeah. I'm the lead singer of the band, dude.
The name of my band.
Yeah.
But they're all on me
like they want to hold hands.
Oh, you know, we got the Eminem fans in here. All right. So,
white guys.
Without further ado, hands. We're back. Class is in session. Got the trivia on deck. The blicky is full. So, it's only right that I come back and catch you guys with the okie doke with the double reverse pass on this one. So, without further ado,
that Kendrick Bourne.
Rob Gronkowski has the most receiving touchdowns since 2011 with 92. What active player is next on this list with 84 touchdowns since then?
Since what year?
2011. Rob Gronkowski has the most receiving touchdowns since 2011 with 92. What active player is next on this list with 84 touchdowns?
Davante Adams.
All right, Woody guesses Davante Adams. That's a solid pick. Obviously, he'd have to do that in, what, a 5 or 6 year period? Davante Adams been in the league for how long? About 7 years?
7 years, yeah.
I think he was in that 2014
class. Yeah, it's probably someone a little older. So I probably got that wrong.
What do you think, Brandon?
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce. Okay. Travis Kelce. That's the solid guess as well.
Kelce wasn't a big touchdown scorer. He's a yardage guy.
So, the answer, you guys are both wrong, obviously.
That's good.
The answer is Jimmy Graham with 84 touchdowns.
Wow. Jimmy, people forget, man. Jimmy had an incredibly dominant, 5-year stretch.
He did. And, you know, I thought you guys were at least going to get the second person on this list. So Gronk is first. Jimmy Graham, excuse me, is second. Antonio Brown has 83.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know me. I think Antonio Brown's a top three wide receiver all the time. So.
Top three all the time.
Man, you know, I could get with that argument. I think it's an argument. I don't necessarily
his footwork,
like it.
No one touches him.
If he didn't have the fall that he had for that two and a half years, I would be right there with you.
I get it, but I'm talking about
something.
If I'm picking a trio of wide receivers, if we're doing a Madden fantasy draft,
Moss and Rice.
I'm going Moss, I'm going T.O., and I'm going Antonio Brown.
What up, Jerry Rice?
Mm-hmm. I'm going
perfect compliment, and I'd swap out T.O. for Larry Fitzgerald.
I'm probably going Moss, Calvin Johnson, and probably T.O.
New York Giants, Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers 37, Giants 21. Chargers are starting to roll here, boys. I know it's just the Giants.
Nope. Get over it, Woody. It ain't happening.
It might.
I'm tired. Look, I heard somebody else say this the other day. I'm like, man, come on. These guys, they're not true contenders. I know we want to throw it out there.
But they're actually
quarterback.
Defending the run well now. That's the thing.
It's not.
Last four games, they've been doing very well against
the They have. I know.
This.
I brought it up.
Brandon, my man.
I brought it up.
On a limb. Shut
hey, look,
down.
Man, I'm tired of hearing it. Like, these finesse offenses, these teams that want to get the ball down the field and push it vertically, let's just force this dude to do
but
it all
had,
underneath.
The first two drives were long touchdown drives.
Right.
Ran
but
the
listen.
Ball and dinked and dunked.
And if they can continue to do that, they're not going to do that, though, once they're playing, like, the top-level teams once
their
they get there.
Their defense not good enough. Yeah,
if they get overall. To the Super Bowl, somehow, magically get to the Super Bowl.
The AFC's wide open right now. Let's be real.
It is. That's what I'm saying. But, I mean, the Patriots, I could see the Patriots beating that team. But anyway.
Are we worried about Saquon Barkley?
I don't know. We asked that question.
Yeah. Week. Yeah. I think we were worried about him a few weeks ago.
This is the first game that he looked good, though. He looked decent. 16 carries, 64 yards. Then he had 3 catches, 31 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, give the man some time to get going, I guess. I mean, what do you mean by worried about him, though? Like, outside of our conversations.
Like, obviously, he can still be a good starting back. But I'm talking about, is he a generational talent still?
Yeah, in terms of his skill set. Like, he can still be a really, really, really dominant player if he comes back and he has the right personnel around him and he's healthy and all of that. I don't know what's going on with him mentally. I think there might be a combination of, you know, a mental aspect and a physical aspect going on with him. That's my concern, is the mental.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah,
look, I look, when it comes to Saquon, this is my problem. And this is my problem with the media and just in recent years. We're so quick to compare a player to one of the greats, to saying this guy is this, this, and this, right? Without even playing a substantial amount of games, right? And so the thing is, what makes a player great, we can see all the tools that we want to, but what makes a player great is the longevity and the durability, right? It's so many variables that goes into a player having a great career, you know, than just having the specs to get the job done. And honestly, it's as we see it, it's so much more to football than Saquon's thighs, right? Than his 4.3 speed, than his quick feet. It's so many other variables. Like Brandon pointed out, his mind, what's going on inside of his mind? Does he still have it?
I mean, things are changing, man. Saquon may not even have the thickest thighs in the NFL running backs anymore. AJ Dillon looking pretty thick over there in Green Bay.
Yeah, but it's a different.
Mike Davis down there in Atlanta fitting in too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a different skill set. You put Saquon, his body type versus Dillon, but the more fluid athlete is definitely Saquon Barkley.
No, for sure. Guys, here's the reason why I think Los Angeles is also emerging. I've been waiting for Jalen Guyton to start catching bombs like last year, all year. And he's finally starting to do it. Him and Herbert dialing it up. And the young Joshua Palmer is starting to emerge. That's four deep at wide receiver. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen was out with COVID. The weapons are there. This offense is starting to roll.
You're a fan. You're excited.
And I am a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought you were a Rams fan.
Mm-hmm. So you're confusing me. These days.
Oh God, I hate this bit.
But I really did. I thought you were.
No, you don't. Stop. 49ers and Bengals. The 49ers are starting to look pretty good. They yeah, let the Bengals back in. I thought they were done. I thought they were cooked. And they're just winning games. Look, yeah. Can't say anything else.
George Kittle. Whew. Did you see that catch he made?
Oh, that incredible.
Went up, just climbed up and got that one, man. I didn't think he was going to pull that in. He did. That was insane. But, yeah, look, they are playing. They're playing well. The Bengals are up and down, as you can see. Young team trying to figure it out. They're on the cusp of making the playoffs, so there's going to be a lot of pressure on them. But as for the 49ers, they find a way to continue to run the football, even without their starter. You know, they just plugged some guys in. And Deebo Samuel, 8 carries again, 37 yards. He scored that other touchdown going down the sideline. I thought he was
the
tackled.
Best running back on that team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the best athlete, period. Maybe even in the NFL at this point.
No, he's
the, way
the best
he plays.
Running back on that team.
No, I'm okay. That's fine. We can call it that. I mean, Deebo's, he's the best running back on a lot of teams.
Probably been out of position his entire career since he was at South Carolina. He's always been a great player with the ball in his hands, yeah. And he does it different than other receivers.
Well,
like
these guys
makes
like
tackles.
Deebo and Cordell Patterson, I think we're starting to see what we've been talking about, where like a positionless NFL. I think we're going to start seeing more athletes come out of that running back position in the backfield. Mm-hmm. More and more.
Peep this. Coming into the game, Deebo was leading the 49ers in rushing touchdowns and in touchdown receptions. Now, after this week, George Kittle leads the team in touchdown receptions by one touchdown over Debo, but Debo still has the lead for rushing touchdowns on the team. So,
which, by the way, welcome back, George Kittle, because I had been waiting for like almost a year. Like, I was like, oh, is he still like an elite offensive tight end? And he's back. Well, but yeah, outside of blocking.
For now.
Oh, I mean, on top of everything else, good God. What he's able to do if he's healthy, this team's scary like that. And Jimmy G looks better when he's out there.
The best ability is availability. And, I mean, look, he's been available and he's been healthy. His last two games, he's combined for 22 catches. And he's 22 catches for, let's see, 320 plus yards and three touchdowns in the last two games. So he's healthy, and that's a weapon on that offense, right?
Yeah, he's putting them on his shoulders, him and Debo. And you need that when you got Jimmy G out there.
49ers might be a good team to ride betting-wise to the end of the year here. They're looking good. And physical football, too. Ravens-Browns. This one was tough for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson going down. They're saying it's looking like a light ankle sprain, though. It looked way worse. Took him out on the cart. I guess they're just being precautious. They're planning on him playing this week.
That or he's soft.
Yeah. Hmm.
Awesome. I bet you they're just taking.
They're like, no, Lamar, don't walk on it.
Now, there was something interesting that happened in this
game. Might hurt it more.
The coach, after the Browns jumped out to that big lead, he took Baker Mayfield out and put in Case Keenum, even though Baker was like having a great game. And Baker like wigged out on the sideline. He's like, what the hell? Obviously, they want to get him rest because he's been so banged up all year. They got a 24-point lead. Threw the whole like vibe of the team off. They didn't score another touchdown, and the Ravens started coming back, even when Baker went back in. Like, how do y'all feel on if you got a heavy lead? Do you bring in the backup if you think your quarterback needs rest?
Never. That's just, it's not football. That's not what you do. But I will say this: Baker's not the answer, and we've been said that. And Baker isn't the reason that they won, right? Like,
oh, it was an effort of, it was a team effort for them.
Exactly.
But ultimately, the game changed as soon as Lamar went down. I mean, it's a whole different game. All you got to do is manage it and get through it. Don't make mistakes. And
Myles Garrett with the forced fumble and return for TD probably locked up Defensive Player of the Year.
No. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it's locked up. I would say he's the
Micah
favorite.
Parsons is looking like,
bro, he's they're calling him the best rookie prospect since Lawrence Taylor. And I asked you guys that, I don't know, back here during the offseason, that was a trivia question. Who's the only player in NFL history to win Defensive Player of the Year as a rookie? And Lawrence Taylor was the
guy. Dude, they had Micah. They had Micah playing middle linebacker and blitzing. They put him on the – it looked like everything that you want him to be, that Swiss Army knife on defense, my God.
Yeah, for sure. But I think it's him and Myles Garrett neck and neck. So I don't disagree with you, Woody. I just wouldn't say it's a lock yet.
The rookie. Give it to the rookie if he's that impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
Holy cow, man. Give it all to him. Here, rookie of the year.
He's number one in the NFL in pass rush win rate. And it's not even close. It's not even close because he's 99 in pass rush rate.
No, that's real.
Hey, but he had a bad attitude in the locker room.
Jaguars, Titans. Let's bring out the clown car. Bring out the clown car.
Oh, I couldn't wait for this one.
Oh, my God. Oh, Trevor Lawrence. Just the legacy. Thank you. The legacy continues. This, like, Urban Meyer might actually be ruining Trevor Lawrence's career at this point.
Oh, no, he is. He is right in
front
of
my eyes. Urban Meyer has ruined his own career, his legacy, his career.
And the owner is saying he's not going to be too hasty firing Urban Meyer. He came out and said that today. Every week, your team
because
is
they owe
a
him
clown
a lot.
Show.
They have
Every
to pay
single
him.
Week, something stupider happens. Now he's not looking Vrabel in the eye when he goes to shake his hand at the
he's
end of
so
the game.
Well, they already don't like each other. They already had an issue at Ohio State. They had a lot of disagreements at Ohio State. So I there's already some tension there. I want to remind you guys that Urban also has that stare. If you go watch him at Florida, watch him at Ohio State, and now watch him on the sideline, he has that where he's just kind of like gazing off.
He's thinking about a blonde.
Every time he has that look, and it's happened at Ohio State, it happened at Florida, and here we are again. So he's on his way out. Now, here's the deal. The reason Urban they're Meyer saying to that. No, Urban Meyer to nowhere. Like,
think he's done.
He'll be done for at least a year. He'll probably sit one out. Maybe to. I mean, honestly, what college team wants to hire this guy with the track record he has right now?
There's a long list.
Yeah, Brandon. I kind of look, I feel you that I feel like that's how they should feel.
Okay, let me say this a different way. What college team minus the SEC?
I think Urban Meyer has his reputation has definitely taken a hit, right? Whereas before this season, he could probably walk into any university and say, "Hey, I want this job." And then they'll say, "Okay, Urban, you got it." Right? The worst part about it is back here before the season even started, I was thinking about reading his book. I have a friend who read his book, said it's great.
He
talks
line.
About, you know, being a leader of men and doing things the right way. And
yeah, Zach Smith read it too.
To be a good leader of men.
His wife.
Oh, man. It's just like, yeah, he's just not the guy. He's a terrible
He's a great leader,
his
right?
His body language is terrible. He hired all the wrong guys. He's not accountable.
Well, I was saying this to our boy Sori yesterday when I was talking to him. I was like, you're taking over the team in the blackest part of Florida, and your initial move.
It's Nate vibes here. No, I'm joking.
Jacksonville's very.
No, it's
very,
black as hell. Exactly. AIDS rate out there is crazy.
I didn't go there, but yeah. Anyway.
I mean, you might as well.
But so you're going to the blackest part Atlanta. Of Florida, right? And your first move is hiring the dude who got fired for being racist from Iowa.
Yeah.
I know. I told you guys.
And then the whole thing with Marvin Jones and the league. And I mean, it's just nasty in Jacksonville, right? We ain't even talked about the game yet. And quite frankly, it's no point.
No, I got something for you here. There's a new contender added to the list. It's the Tennessee Titans. Let me tell you why. Oh. Derrick Henry will be back for the playoffs. AJ, healthy. Julio, healthy. They've weathered this storm. They're 9-4.
I don't think they're contenders. But
with that defense, the way Simmons is playing?
I don't look, there's some teams out there that come postseason. I just wouldn't want to play. Baltimore is one of them with Lamar Jackson. Tennessee is one of them. Just for, you know, the reasons that you just kind of stated. I don't think they're contenders though, but I could see them pulling, you know, a one off and upsetting somebody.
Derrick Henry is still second in the league in rushing, and he hasn't played for 5 games.
Yeah, your boy who's number one, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I know. It's insane, though. He hasn't played for 5 games. He's still second in the league in rushing.
Yeah. He's a beast.
Dude, I'm scared of this Titans team. I would not want to play them. They get healthy.
No, for sure. Not at all.
Raiders, Chiefs. Raiders are spiraling right now. Season's over, right?
Yeah, it's over.
Too much drama. You got your coach got fired by the league essentially for saying wild stuff in emails. Then your star young wide receiver killed somebody.
Hey, is he I know we talked about it a few weeks ago, something about like they couldn't find him or something. Is he still on the run or did
No. He just missed a testing, a COVID testing.
I was hoping he was in Mexico or something. But yeah, look, man. Look, it's not really too much to say about this game, but I'm going to say this. If you go into someone's house and you decide to look them dead in their eye on the carpet in the living room and just take a shit with your chest poked out and they wait for you to finish to shoot a fair fight and you get your ass whooped, now you're just disrespectful and you're a loser. And that's what happened to the Raiders.
Well, I'll tell you how weird this game was. So if I told you the Kansas City Chiefs scored 48 points, you would assume that Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce had a good game. Like, Tyreek had 4 catches, 76 yards. He had one long one, no touchdown, though. Travis Kelce, 3 catches, 27 yards.
Yeah.
All these touchdowns. Derek Gore had a running touchdown. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 10 carries, 37 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yep.
And a lot of it was off of a short field because, you know, it's almost Christmas time and that Las Vegas Raiders offense was just gifting turnovers with a bow on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was like, here, Kansas City, this is for you.
And yeah.
Well, you know, a game out of hand.
Hunter Renfrow, 13 receptions, 117 yards.
On underrated. Underrated. So underrated.
Real
so tough. Underrated.
He smoked on that touchdown, too. He burned that cornerback on that little route.
Oh, on that. I think sometimes they call it a Y route. I like to call it a Z route. But
I thought it was Z, yeah.
A wonderful route. Wonderful route.
Saints 30, Jets 9, Taysom Hill. He does Taysom Hill things, 44-yard TD run. Can't really throw still.
Yeah, I didn't watch this game.
Yeah, who cares?
I bet on it, though. But
Zach Wilson, 19 completions, 42 attempts. And the legacy of did we fuck up continues.
Yeah, right.
Be fair, he had no Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore was out. And he has no Michael Carter. He's out as well. So those are just
doesn't look like he had anybody. Braxton Berrios was his leading target.
Hey, look, you remember coming into the season, everyone was like, oh, the Jets have already done more for Zach Wilson than what they did for Sam Darnold, even though they went and drafted Sam Darnold a receiver and Denzel Mims. They went out and got him a left tackle and Mekhi Becton. They were putting pieces around Sam Darnold to help him succeed. It's just New York. And
it is. It's a curse.
They put weapons around Zach Wilson to help him out. They went out, they signed Corey Davis. They drafted Elijah Moore. They've tried to work on that offensive line. They got on Michael Carter. It's still too early to tell. And, you know, I feel like just because we've had some young quarterbacks have success early on in their career, if you look back just at the last 5 or 6 years, I think organizations are getting a little too trigger happy with evaluating these quarterbacks and dubbing them the next guy up.
It's true.
Yeah. You got to give him a couple years, though. Give him a couple
Alvin
years.
Alvin Kamara sure. Looks good coming back on the knee. Knee looked healthy. 27 carries, 120 yards, a few receptions.
Yeah. My knees would look healthy against the Jets right now.
Fair enough. Kidding,
but Taysom Hill, man, he also ran the ball, too. Look at that. I mean, like, that's something to account for in this offense that we're not used to. And that's exactly what we were expecting from him. I know you already talked about him, but keep an eye on that as they move forward. I think they got the Bucs this week. Am I right?
I believe so, yeah. Cowgirls and football team.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Wait, what?
What's the respect? What's the disrespect for?
Because Dak's screwing me right now.
That's oh, no, okay, that's fair. That's fair.
In two different leagues, putting up 12 points back-to-back.
Yeah, Dak the last, I'd say, month, he definitely hasn't played up to snuff. Ever since really coming back from the injury, he played good against the Raiders on Thanksgiving Day. You know, down his left tackle and his top two receivers, but Dak hasn't looked impressive at all. He's looked a bit timid. Almost wants me to question, like, okay, is he a little banged up? Is he hurt? Is it his shoulder from this offseason? Is it still the calf muscle strain that he had? But he doesn't look himself.
He doesn't. And like, also the wide receivers look a little banged up too. We're seeing Amari kind of have like a COVID malaise. CD's doing his thing still.
I'm going to tell you this. Amari Cooper this is every year. Amari Cooper kind of gets into a dead zone for a few weeks where it's
just
like,
explodes.
Okay. Yeah. And so, I mean, that explosion might be coming sooner than later. I can tell you there's a silver lining in this, though. And the silver lining is Dallas is getting healthy, especially that defense, which was already one of the top defenses as far as taking the ball away. Now you get Randy Gregory back from a three-game layoff. You get DeMarcus Lawrence back. He just played a second game of this season Sunday. So he's rounded back into form. And then you got Micah Parsons, Dorrance Armstrong, who showed his value with Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence being out.
Been good, yeah.
So they have four guys that can rush the passer. They can be multiple. And I mean, hey, it's trending the right way for Dallas on the defensive side of the ball. That's the silver lining in it.
CJ, I asked Brandon this last week, and I want to ask you this. What team is Ezekiel Elliott on next year?
Not Dallas.
Boom. Thank you.
I'm
thinking maybe Buffalo.
Look, Zeke, I think he may restructure his contract. I see Zeke as that type of player. I think he's selfless. And I think he's happy in Dallas, and I think he may do that to stay. But I think if he's not willing to, it's such a cap hit. It's such a cap hit. And you're going to have to get rid of him. If not next year, then the year after for sure.
No, Cowboys for sure. Got the Giants this week, so.
No, that's a win.
It's a win.
Falcons versus Panthers. I thought the Falcons were going to win this game. I told on the podcast, I said bet heavy on this game because the better team is getting points. Like, the Panthers are not a good team right now. And the Falcons are, they're playing 500 ball right now.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
Look, who thought Sammy D going down would be, like, you know, the end of the Carolina Panthers?
I mean, we all knew, like, as much as I love seeing Cam come back and actually do good, like, decent stuff.
He's got to hang it up.
He's got to hang it up. It's done.
Time for him to hang it up.
Walk away. Go do some fashion stuff. Bro. Just walk away.
You got an MVP. You'll never be a Hall of Famer. Although, you know.
He might be a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
For the rushing numbers.
No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Matt Rhule, be a great college coach.
You think he goes back?
I don't know. I don't know if he's done yet, but it's not looking good.
Where's Matt Rhule even from? I know he coached at Temple, then he coached at Baylor, but I don't know, like, who's his alma mater? Where would he want to go?
Bob Stoops is coaching the bowl game?
Yeah, which is weird. Yeah. Last time I heard that was when I think Barry Alvarez came down from his AD position to coach in a bowl game when one of the Wisconsin coaches left for another job. I don't really know how it worked, but it's just weird, right? Like, I know Bob Stoops still has his hand on the program, but to what degree? You don't have any continuity with these players, relationships with these players. That's neither here nor there. I'm kind of going left, but it's interesting.
I got a question for y'all. Where does Cordell Patterson land in your fantasy rankings next year? Way too early prediction for as a running back.
Low.
Nah.
Like a running back two, right?
No, not even.
Really? He's looking good.
This year's an outlier. This year's an outlier, and I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying there's 7 years of data before this year that says, hey, he's a WR 5, 6, or 7 somewhere. And Atlanta sucks. I mean, let's be honest.
They do. Seahawks at Texans. Seahawks, they destroyed the Texans here. I mean, what's up with Davis Mills? Like 33 of 49, 331 yards, one TD. That's a weird stat line.
It is. To put up 13 points and to get, you know, blown out by 20.
That's a Kirk Cousins stat line right there.
It's called taking what they give you.
I didn't watch this game over here, but I do have something to say about
this game.
About Seattle, just because they've been a huge disappointment, and I know they didn't have Russ. But look, this franchise has been mismanaged for the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, you know, letting some top defensive guys go.
The drafting has been atrocious.
The drafting with the few draft picks that they've had, you know.
Like they haven't hit on a first-round pick in, like, 5 years.
The offensive line is terrible. It was terrible 3, 4 years ago. It's still terrible now. The defense is inconsistent. Sometimes, you know, shows glimpses, and then other times it gets mollywopped. You pay Jamal Adams all this money.
Having 9.5 sacks, changing the position to having nothing this year. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Texans, we said me and Brandon on our – go check out Brandon's YouTube channel, y'all, Football Scout 365. We started doing draft content. We just did Michigan State's Kenneth Walker. I have the Texans trading away Deshaun in the offseason. One of those multiple first-round picks. They'll probably pick Kenneth Walker, I imagine.
I think you can get him in the second.
You think so? I think he's end of the first, so we'll find him.
I wouldn't draft a running back.
This is one of those years where he might be the only guy to be considered that high. But, second, third round for running back right now.
Yeah.
But he is the closest thing you're going to get to the first round at this point. I mean, I don't see anything else.
Lord. Lions, Broncos. Nice moment in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
They, Demaryius Thomas, they lined up without the X wide receiver, which obviously Demaryius used to play.
And the Lions were classy, and they turned down the penalty. I would have accepted that.
That's why they won in 10. I would have accepted it too.
It's like, that's cute, but yeah, and we accept the penalty.
We're trying to win.
We need RIP 88. Yeah.
But yeah, it's unfortunate with Demaryius Thomas, man. He was probably one, you know, this decade, he was definitely one of my favorite receivers. He could do it all. And I think his biggest moment was against Pittsburgh Steelers back in 2011. Tim Tebow walk off game winning touchdown in overtime to win the game and knock Pittsburgh off. So
big time.
Melvin Gordon is a good running back. People need to put some respect on my boy's name. Like, I understand Javonte Williams is nasty. He's going to be one of the best backs in the league. But Melvin Gordon is going to go somewhere next year and be a Pro Bowl running back again.
No, I mean, probably. So look, I was doing some research last week. Before this past Sunday's game, there were two teams that had running backs, had two running backs with at least 600 yards rushing this year. Can y'all guess who those two teams were?
Wait, say the question one more time.
There were two teams coming into Sunday's, line of games who had two separate running backs with at least 600 yards individually.
One's obviously Denver.
Yeah, right. I feel like that's right.
And then, with Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. And then there was one
with an injured running back that's been in and out, maybe?
No, not really. So that actually made me do some recon because someone was talking
Stevenson
bad.
Stevenson can't be over 600. It's not.
He'll get there probably.
You want me to tell you who it was?
No, not yet. Let me think. It could possibly be Raven. Nah.
It's got to be the Cowboys, right?
Oh, yeah, Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys. Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah.
Tony Pollard and Zeke.
Pollard's, God, yo, that run, that toss to the outside, I haven't seen someone run that fast.
He tore his plantar fascia on that play, too.
Ankles couldn't handle the speed, man. Start rattling. Bills, Buccaneers. This one, I was impressed how the Bills hung tough here.
Yeah, me too.
But, man, until they get a running back that can move the ball consistently, teams are just going to play the pass.
They got to block it well, too.
You invest too much in your running backs, Woody, because guess what? You can get a Najee Harris back there.
Offensive line.
And thank you, because Najee Harris is still going to average 3.5 yards per carry, no matter how good he is behind a bad offensive line.
Here's my thing, though. Josh Allen's getting 4 yards of carry up the middle. I think it actually is something to do with the running backs.
Josh Allen is averaging 4 yards up the middle because when you can run with your quarterback, you have an extra blocker. You have an extra man. Yeah,
that's true. That's why he's doing a lot of stuff. You got to worry about him throwing it. Linebackers are already backing off and all that. They're not. Yeah, it's just
guess what? 4th and 2 inside the 5. When the Bills came out, 3rd and 2 inside the 5, when the Bills came out and I saw the formation they were in, I'm like, oh, this is a good play call. Because I thought they was going to run a quarterback power with Josh Allen. That's what I would do. I'm just waiting to see it. Like, use them. Like, big play. Got a big guy. Great athlete. The first guy never gets him down. You need 2 yards. I trust Josh Allen. Like, the problem with the Bills is they're not on time and in structure when it comes to their offense. Like, they can't do things the traditional way. And I said this when the Bills were, 5-1 earlier this season. The problem that I see with Buffalo is they can't just be on schedule, which means they can't just drive the ball down the field traditionally with a mix of runs and passes and make it look smooth. Every possession or every other play, Josh Allen has to do something that blows your mind away.
Yeah, it's out of structure.
Yeah.
It's not something pre-planned. It's him creating, and they're relying on that far too much. And that's not college-based. Yeah, it's that college-based offense that NFL defenses are figuring out.
Yeah.
You know?
Leonard Fournette. I love it. I love the late bloomers. I love it when it finally clicks, finally works out, right situation, right time. He's having an amazing year this year.
Yeah.
It's the hard work you put in catching the ball, though.
Exactly. It was never a question whether Leonard Fournette had the tools or not. And he's still not the running back that, like, we want him to be, right? You see a guy that big, that fast. Leonard Fournette still isn't a I'm going to run you over type of, you know, he'd still rather juke you and run past you. But I think the hard work.
Run you over now.
And he can run you over. That's just not his cup of tea. That's not what he prefers to do. He's
saving that for the postseason.
Probably so. But Leonard Fournette has improved. I just think it's the hard work. You know, he's learned how to be a professional. And how do you not when you're, you know, playing with Tom Brady?
Playing with the GOAT.
You're looking at number 12 every time you line up. Like, Brandon's got to teach you how to be a professional.
Bears, what else can you say?
I'm speechless.
I mean, the Buccaneers, this is they're starting to slip into Super Bowl mode before we go on the Bears and Packers. Like, this is what we saw last year. They started running the ball. They're just jamming it down people's throats.
Look, that and Washington football team beating them a few weeks ago was perhaps the wake-up call.
But remember, last year they sputtered at the end of the year, too. And then they last three games, tightened it up, winning the playoffs on fire, destroyed.
Tampa Bay is the legit front runner right now. Period.
Hot take.
Yeah, that's easy enough. But who's the next three behind him?
Green Bay.
It's going to be all NFC teams, right?
If the defense starts picking up like it has. And I think Arizona's there too.
Nope.
I like Tampa and Green Bay as 1A, 1B.
There you go.
After that, it's a toss up.
Tennessee is interesting if Derrick Henry comes back healthy.
Brandon.
That's very true.
You're on the fence about Green Bay? Why?
Well, you guys got over that. I was looking at the numbers here and just reflecting on the game that they just played and just how everybody was just like, oh, look at how well they played. But they were giving up chunk plays. They were giving up a ton of stuff on special teams. They were giving good field position. Those are things you can't do once you get to the postseason.
I mean, Green Bay had one bad quarter.
That's all it takes, and you're out.
They scored the Bears scored 24 points in one quarter.
And you're out in the playoffs against a high level team.
That's fair. But I'm not gonna use one quarter or even like a bad phase
thinking that way at Green Bay. Do you think Bill Belichick thinks that way?
Oh no! Belichick, he sees an advantage, he's gonna try to win the game.
Yeah.
You know, on special teams, right? Keep it even on offense and defense. But if we can win the special teams battle, which it looks like they struggle with, then we can beat Green Bay. So I'm right there with you. But the defense gave up some plays too. But again, we can point to it. We can say the same about every other defense that's out here. We were crowning Buffalo 6 weeks ago as having a great defense, and then before you know it, the schedule flipped
though, didn't it? For Buffalo, was it Buffalo or New England? No, New England's schedule got more difficult, I believe. Maybe both teams.
With the way Aaron Rodgers is ending the season, is he going to win the MVP again?
Yeah.
No, he's not. Too. Nope.
Last three games. 385-4.
Doesn't matter.
307-2. 341-4. Doesn't matter?
Not going to matter. It's political. It'll be political no matter what. Tom's winning it. Sorry.
He didn't win it last year.
What's that?
He didn't win it last year.
No, Tom's winning it. Because, you know, the COVID thing, that's just bad PR. Got to handle that better, and you'll win the MVP.
You know, I don't.
You actually won me over there.
Look, whenever you say politics, I start backpedaling. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Well, when you put it like that.
The politics of voting for an MVP and the thought processes behind it. Who are you going to go with? I mean, personally, the way Aaron handled that, I mean, you handle it with more grace.
Yeah. No, that's real. But if we're just talking about on-field play, like I would dub Aaron Rodgers. If I had a vote, I would give it to Aaron Rodgers right now.
He's flat out incredible.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah.
I mean, everything he does, right? Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. He has to get surgery now after the last game. He says I'm not a
Rodgers fan. I call it like
bothering his Rodgers fan? That's so surprising.
He has to have toe surgery, I hope something goes wrong. Not terribly wrong, but like maybe a staph infection loses it? Or something.
Oh, his whole leg?
He'd still ball without a pinky toe, bro.
You think so?
Yeah.
Off platform? On one
every
foot?
Every throw will be off platform.
It's going to be perfect then, because it feels like every throw that's off platform is perfect.
All right, guys. Last game. Rams, Cardinals. This was a hell of a game. I wish I could have finished watching the second half. I had to go to improv practice. But 30-23, Rams took this one. They needed it. They needed this win. Because we were worried. They had lost some games against good opponents. This was a statement win. They're back in it. Dialed in.
Yeah, this was a must-win for them. If they didn't win, they would have fell to 8-5. With just the game up on the 49ers.
Yeah.
Right? With the 49ers kind of, you know, holding pretty much the tiebreaker because they already beat them one time. Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, it would have been tough. But the Rams, they came out, they played hard. And honestly, with Jalen Ramsey and Higbee going down right before the game with COVID protocols, I think in a way, and this is weird, I think it may have helped the Rams out.
Yeah, no, that's true. And let me tell you something here, man. Sony Michel, we were talking about this before the show. Sony Michel, with his power running game, it makes this offense better. It centers the offense. This is what they had with Todd Gurley. They can punish defense. Daryl Henderson is good. He's explosive. He's good back to mix in. But he's not going to punish defenders. Like, Sony was carrying three dudes for an extra 2-3 yards.
Yeah.
Like, when you have back, that's gonna keep those linebackers up because they know what's coming. They're gonna have to hit or get hit. It just changes the tone of the offense, and I think it helped Stafford. It's helped Stafford immensely when they had that power running game.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is a split backfield now. I don't think Henderson comes back to the full touches.
And look, you got OBJ who showed up last
night.
Starting
to look good.
It seems like they made a point to try to get him the ball in the red zone. You know, when you think of red zone threats, you think of bigger bodied receivers, long, tall, strong hands. OBJ, he's not necessarily that, but he can be a strong red zone threat, a very strong red zone threat. So it was good to see that.
Yeah, he looked good.
Cardinals, we worried at all? This is just a blip, right?
Kyler Murray's first game back, right?
No, it's just like his third game back.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. It might be. It's
second, maybe?
Second. Yeah. Oh, I know he had a game against the Bears in the rain. He had two rushing touchdowns, two passing touchdowns.
Yeah, he threw two interceptions. The first one was real bad. Yards.
Yeah, it was.
The first one was real bad in the red zone. That's a huge no-no.
I think the second one too, right? Which one was the interception that got like one-handed by the?
Oh, that one was bad too. Yep, that was the second one, but that was bad too.
So guys, we have 4 games left, right? There's been 13 games played, and he has 1,489 yards.
Oof. He's
might
2K,
bro. He might. Like, what's the reception cap at here? Like, he could, if he goes off, if he goes like 10, let's say he gets 40 receptions in the last four.
Yeah, that's why advanced stats matter, man.
That's
how many 153
receptions.
How many of those are at or below or underneath 5 yards? I'm just saying.
I mean, he's leading the league in yardage. That's not even an argument.
I guarantee you his air yards per catch. If that's a stat, it's probably higher than what Michael Thomas was when he broke the record.
Probably. Stafford takes shots to Cooper downfield.
Cooper Kupp also leads the league in yards after catch, I believe, too. So
yeah. And touchdowns, 12 TDs, too. This season's incredible, and I feel like no one's really giving him his flowers.
Well, OBJ is just making it. It's going to make it easier if he starts to become
Because he's a what guy?
Slot guy.
Oh. I heard that at the end.
He's a white guy. It's because he's white.
Right? I mean, look, I don't want him to break the all-time receiver.
I know you don't.
But it has nothing to do with him being white. It has everything to do with just him not being great enough to pass it.
Yo, let this man be great, dude.
That's so messed up to say, too. I know. I'm basically
this is the first.
On
is this
it.
His first healthy year?
No, in not his first. Years.
It's his healthiest year in a few years.
He's really only been, I mean, his rookie year, he came on strong. And then I think his second year, he went over 1,000 yards. His third year was supposed to be his big year, right? After players see that they can do it, they usually hit that next level. And that's when he tore his ACL. Come back the next year. You usually expect a year, you know, even when you're back, to not necessarily be 100%, but he went over 1,000 yards again. And then he has this year. So
he's already at 1,500 yards. If he could... Is he making a run? He's going to end up with like 1,900 yards and 150 receptions.
I mean, probably.
That's insane.
Hope not, but probably.
That's so wild to me.
I mean, look, when I think of Calvin Johnson and Jerry Rice, I don't think of Cooper Kupp. That's it. That's just my issue with it. That's all.
It's because he's white.
No, no.
Nah, we quit saying all that.
CJ does not like white.
No, that's not what it is. You know what it is?
Hey, look,
every
Cooper
time a
Kupp
white
is...
player does something good, the first one to come is Woody.
Hey, but I will say this, is Cooper Kupp's not a better athlete than Calvin Johnson or any of these guys who have had monster years. So
that's what makes it so crazy. He's not as athletic as these like elite guys, but he's just out there schooling cats on good old fashioned route running.
See, Brandon feel like I do, and he's white.
Yeah, what's up with that?
That's not real. I'm just giving you crap. You love
them good old
McCaffrey.
Them good old boy vibes. I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers is not a diva, but let it be a brother wide receiver. You know, he a diva. That's all.
Woody's Mount Rushmore receivers got Cooper Kupp, Wes Welker, and Julian Edelman.
This man, give this man a McChicken with some extra mayo and watch how much of a good old boy he turns into.
Hey, Woody, who's your favorite running back of all time?
Just say something about fried chicken.
No, I said McChicken. TJ likes to yell at fast food workers.
Oh, yeah. They can't mess my order up, man. His joint pissed me off.
He called me yesterday. I just exploded on the McDonald's crew.
I get pissed off about that stuff too, man. I don't yell at them though because I feel for people.
Who's my favorite running back of all time? LaDainian Tomlinson.
I thought you were gonna say Mike Osley.
Rex Burkhead.
He's up there.
Yeah, see there.
Christian McCaffrey.
Do you not like Mike Osley?
Nah, I love Mike Osley.
Mike Osley was one of the funnest players to watch ever.
He's not in my top 10 though.
He's not my top 10. Well, like favorites to watch, he'd probably be in my top 10.
Exactly.
I don't list him overall. But he was a fullback, though. Mike Allstott was like in the John Riggins family. Like he wasn't really a running back. He was a fullback ran them too. I never really watched him play besides highlight videos, so I don't know. But he was amazing. Like he got Washington their first Super Bowl. Yeah.
No. Excuse me. Doug Williams did that.
With John Riggins.
Doug Williams was the quarterback who just happened to be black, though. I'm just saying.
Yeah, first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
Whoa. Now you're going too far. What was that face for?
I said first black quarterback.
Nah, no. I'm just messing with you. I'm just trying. America, he's racist.
All right. Well, guys, that's going to wrap us up today. We covered all the games today. Look out for our Friday show where we are making some money on the ponies. And, check out the YouTube channel, Football Scout 365. We're dropping draft content already, breaking down the top prospects. We've done the top two pass rushers. We've done the top quarterback prospect. We've all now done the top running back prospect. Next up on the ballot, somebody wants some whiskey? I could taste some Jameson right now.
There you go.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
And, so check that out, guys. Check us out at the number5toolsportspodcast.com. And check out the NBA pod, me and Coach Mel Taylor. We're having a good time with that. And we had our buddy Dylan Monk on, and we talked the history of being the saddest fan of the Sacramento Kings for the last 30 years. Dylan took us through the timeline. Dylan also came prepared with some stuff, too. It was great. He made an all what the Kings could have been if they drafted well in the last 5 years. And it was.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a fan for a failing fan base if you got to make one of those.
Bro. Literally, like Jimmer Fredette over Kawhi. it's so brutal.
That was the worst
they
draft.
They could have had Kawhi and Klay Thompson.
back-to-back years.
Look, Brandon's like, I don't know who neither one of those guys are.
Oh, I know who they are.
Oh, good job.
I know who Jimmer Fredette is, too. BYU?
Oh, yeah.
Good job. Look at you. You're not as one-dimensional as we thought, Brandon.
He's a shooter.
Jimmer's still balling over there in China.
Over there in China. Hey, man, look, there I barely come off the bench in China. I don't want to hear that.
He averages like 45 points a game over there.
Hey, I'll come off the bench and give you a strong 4 or 5.
Sheesh. It didn't work out for J. Cole.
You know, I don't rap.
Yeah, that's right. Man, those highlights of J. Cole in the Nigerian League were brutal. Oh,
this is a hell of a close, though.
Yeah, it is. All right. Yeah. All right, guys. We're out.
We out.
That's it.
Woody, make sure you don't go down to Miami on the boat before the next episode. Pull an OBJ.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the Cuba.